I will remind you again. I love to think about the little boy with the loaf of fish. Because that little boy gave what he had. Jesus blessed it. Everybody was taken care of, and he got back more than he gave. Y'all remember that? Don't read that to your children to put them to sleep. Read it to yourself to wake you up. You hear me? God didn't put it in there so that we could be entertained. He put it in there so we could be directed. So, once again, I praise the Lord. Anybody in here that thinks that we chide on you for more offering, God has blessed the church already. What are you kind of need here? We're not trying to pull out of a need. You have a need of more. I know that about you. You have a need of more. And so do I. So we just learned to give our way out of need. Now please, don't give me your light bill. I'm not asking for that. I'm not a foolish preacher. That's something you already owe somebody else. But by the same token, let me a little instruction just for a second. This is the biggest no-no that Christians get into. Don't go out, buy new cars, new houses, and make it where you can't tithe. Because God describes it then as a man that builds up this property, puts stuff in his pocket, has holes in it, and never has enough. So let's listen to the Word of God. Let's put Him first in all things, not just when it's convenient. Hallelujah. Father, we give You praise this morning. We give You praise that Your Word is always real and it's always true. And it's true here and now as we give unto You. We will expect by Your promise, the one that You says never fails, that it'll be given back, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. But most of all, it'll bless Your kingdom. That's our desire, Lord. You be blessed. You be glorified. And for these things we ask You and thank You in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. It is well with my soul. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. This has got to go. Sorry, it's got to go. I got a feeling if I wear that, I'll just destroy it. Praise the Lord. Y'all want a word from the Lord this morning?
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to give you one. And you better listen. You better listen. You better listen. The children, do they need to go or are they staying? All right. The reason you better listen is it's life and death. One of the things I'm afraid that we allow each other to believe that the things of God are optional. We allow ourselves to believe that by allowing others around us to believe that. That the things of God are optional. You know why I said that? Because it will come back. Words that we leave around us or allow around us affect us tremendously. Now, this is not a new subject. An old subject approached again and again and again and again. It'll be new for you today. And I'm going to make it a little bit of series. I'm not going to tell you how long it's going to go because I don't know, but I got about 20 pages of Scripture. I won't do that this morning, of course. But I'm going to get it all in over a period of time. I want you to believe that what you believe is life and death. That's what I want you to do. Let's pray right quick. Father, let this not be a time to fill in time, to appease a conscience for attending church. But this will be a time when we're the very core of our foundation is rattled, refreshed, and renewed. Where we leave here with a direction and a purpose. We love you, Lord. We want you, who was, who is, and thank the Lord, who is to come. And I don't mean in rapture. I mean it is to come today and is to come tomorrow and is to come for as long as we walk this earth and then is to come. Hallelujah. We praise you, Jesus. We seek your presence. Holy Spirit, have your way this morning. For that, we give you praise and honor and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to start off with a scripture that I've tried to make familiar with you. If you've got the bulletin on the back, it gives you a place for notes. I do have some scripture to go read this morning, but if a good way to learn your Bible is to learn how to turn fast. Okay? I'm going to start off with Jeremiah 29:11. You should know what that says, but it's going to be our introductory scripture for a while now. I'm afraid one of the things that the church is plagued with is that they think they do not know the will of God. And why do you say that, Stan? Because that's all they ever talk about. Well, if it's God's will, He will. And you already know God's will. You don't even need to pray to know God's will. You have it in your Bible. Now, you can pray for very little, small, specific direction to you, directed to you. But I'm telling you, you've got to know God's will before you can even ask for the small things. Because you've got to know it's God's will to hear and answer your prayer. Or what are you praying about? Why are you praying at all? If you don't believe God wants to hear from you and wants to answer. Right. You understand what I'm saying? You've got to get into perspective here. You shouldn't even come to church if you don't believe that God has got something for you at church. Amen. Our basis, our premise for existing has to be based on what you know about God. What you know about God, not what you guess about Him. Too much guessing going on. Too much, man, y'all, it sounds like Christians take a lot of chances. Man, you hear testimonies, you hear about prayers and what they believe in, they take a lot of chances. And God's game is not a game of chance. When you pull His lever, you're going to get something. Every time. You got to know that, or don't pull the lever. Amen? Yeah. Jeremiah 29, verse 11 through 14. I know the thoughts I think towards you. Now please, let me remind you of something. God's thoughts are not your thoughts. Yeah. Right? Yeah. You can think about a lot of things that are worthless. God doesn't do that. When He thinks it is. All right? For I know the thoughts I think towards you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil. Please, if you can't find it anywhere else, get this straight. If God can't think of evil, He can't punish you. He can't beat you up and stomp you. He can't kill you and maim you like the world and the church sometimes tries to teach. If He can't think of it, He can't do it. Some of y'all that aren't used to doing that, you can do that right now. If you don't believe it, do it anyway. Watch God change it. The thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. Amen. Don't pray if there's no future in it. Don't pray if there's no future. If you're not sure that there's a future in it, don't pray. Don't waste His time, don't waste mine, and don't waste yours. If you're not sure. Don't teach your children, now I lay me down to sleep. I hope my soul He keeps. And if I die, there goes the one promise right out the window. Before I wake, please, God, take my soul. You've already taught him to be a loser. You've already taught him that he's hoping. He's not sure of anything. I know God's thoughts of me are for a future and hope. Then you will call upon me and go and pray to me, and I will listen. How many of you know that God doesn't waste his time? He's not going to listen if it's a waste of time. He won't listen. And you will seek me, and you will find me. You will seek. That's a command on your part. That's God's command to you. You will seek me, and his promise, because if you, I will, the covenant says, and you will find me. Come on. I don't have to preach no more. I'm telling you, unless you're afraid of God finding you. You'll find me when you search for me with all of your heart. Now we get down to the real crux of the matter. Many of us do not seek God with all of our hearts because we don't really want to hear what he's got to say. We just want him to hear what we got to say. God, I'm going to come in, I'm going to talk to you, I'm going to talk to you real fast, I'm going to talk to you real long, and don't say anything. I'm going to tell you what I want, and then I'm getting out of town. Bye. That's not peace. Man, peace is when you can sit down, lay down, visit, and you don't have to say anything. There's a presence there. There's a joy there. There's no fear. I will be found by you, says the Lord, and I will bring you back from your captivity. Now, God's been saying that every day since then, because everybody in this place has some captivity in their life. And God's promises to us is that he wants to bring us back from that captivity. All we have to do is seek him truthfully. That's with all your heart. Truthfully. You know, there's no more left in a heart when it's truth. There's no hidden things when it's all truth. If you just lay it out there, there's no dark spots. There's nothing hidden. Now it's with all your heart. All right. I'll ask you today, and I'm going to ask you, you've heard me ask you before, I'm going to ask you again. This time I want you to search seriously. Where is your hope today? Where is your hope? And I'm not talking about hope, a hope, a hope. I'm talking about something you know as a hope. What is a hope? A true hope is this. A hope is something that I know is going to happen, and I hope it's now. But if it's not, it's still going to happen. That's the hope we're talking about right here. All of us, come on, get honest. All of you want what you asked God for this morning right now. And when it don't come, most of you back up and say, he must not have heard me. Or maybe I didn't pray it just right. Or maybe I didn't find enough scriptures to back it up. Or maybe that secret sin negated it. Well, consider all of those things. It's fine to consider that. But know who God is, not who you are. See, what this is about is who God is, not who you are. We get it mixed up. We think the promises of God are based on who we are. They never were. God never said, this is my way. If you're very angelic. Now, he did say you've got to seek me with all your heart. There is a big if there. Now, we just got to figure if we're open to him. Let's go. What is your hope today? Is your job your hope, or is a job your hope? Let me ask you. We'll find out. Let's just get to it right quick. If you lose your source of income today, are you still going to have hope? Are you going to sleep tonight or not sleep tonight? You're going to hit, if you lost your job today, are you going to hit Monday morning running, looking for a job, or are you going to hit your knees asking for one? Is it your insurance? Well, I'm going to work tomorrow. I'm going to drive home today. And my insurance has got me covered. If anything happens, I'm safe. Boy, are you deceived. Are you deceived? How about the benefits on your job? See, I've got a great job. Got all these benefits. Man, it's got, they take care of my teeth. They take care of my eyes. They take care of my insides. They take care of my wife and my children. And now I'm safe. Well, your child gets sick and it dies. How safe are you?
Right.
Your wife gets sick. How safe are you? You're as safe as the doctor and the insurance company. That ought to shake you to your core.
Yes. Right. Yeah.
That's how safe you are. Don't let the benefits of anything make you secure. You can be suffering tomorrow if that's the case. Well, I tell you what, I got all my debts paid. Got my house paid for, my car's paid for. I've already got enough savings to take care of light bills and everything for a year. Boy, I'm safe. Do you realize what you're saying? Do you realize how easy all of this can be wiped away? Can I remind you how easy it can be wiped away? Y'all guys got a billfold? You can look inside that billfold. This is how easy it can be changed. This is the ones I'm sure about, so I'll get this one out. Y'all see the difference between these? You see the difference between them? What's the difference between this and this? Why is it nothing? Because somebody said it was nothing. What if they would have said there's a difference? What if somebody would have just instantly said, this is now worth $1? It would have been just as easy as for them to say it's still worth $100. That's how secure your future is in money. And if you think you can trust the people, God may have to show you something different. Or He needs to show you something different. I can remember when we went to Acapulco one year when the Mexican money was changing so badly that they just took chalkboards and put them on the walls. And 4, 5, 6 times a day they erased the figure and said that American dollar is worth 1,000, the next time 1,100, the next time 1,200. It's so much to one. And in the time we were there, in the week we were there, or whatever, how long we were there, it went like 600 different, 600, like from 12 to 1,800 or something like that. And everybody that had all that Mexican money was ready to trade it for, it was better to use it for toilet paper. You understand what I'm saying? Where is your value? And then one day they had pounds of money. And the government said, bring it in and we'll change it for whatever we decide it's worth. Is your hope in how good you are? We won't even stay there. Is your hope in the call that you have on your life? Well, do you know who I am? I'm the impervious one because I'm called to be a preacher. Watch them fall. All you got to do is they'll fall all around you. All you got to do is watch. Is your hope in doctors? You know what the difference between doctor and you is? A few hours in the classroom. That's all the difference. The difference is the classroom tells him that he is all-knowing and all-able. And tell your patients to trust you even while they're dying, and then as soon as they die, tell the ones left around that you can trust me. I'm thankful my God's not that way. Well, I tell you what, I have police. You see, man, we're secure. Do you know that? We got two policemen living right next door to us. So I know our house is secure, and I know our dog is secure, and I know we're secure when we're in bed. I know my property is secure. My mom and dad made a mistake one time in their house. They heard this commercial on television that when you go on vacation, call the police department, and they'll circle your house and make sure everything's secure. And they did that, and it's the only time the house ever got broke into. Where's your hope? Where's your surety today? What are you sure about? Friendships? You know how long a friendship, how fast a friendship can go away? Some of you know we're well. Well, see, I've got all this experience. I tell you, I can build, I can tear down, I can do metal, I can do wood. Man, any problem you put before me, I can handle, so I am sure. Yeah? What happens when your back hurts a little bit? Let me ask you, what are you absolutely sure about today? What are you absolutely sure about? You sure you're going to wake up tomorrow? Sure of His Word. That's a good starting place. But it cannot be the last word. Because in that word, there are all kinds of provisions and promises that we have to also become sure about. We cannot say we're sure of God's Word and start checking off things that we don't believe. Christians, please listen to me. The reason we don't have what we're supposed to have is we say, well, but it just depends on how you read that. Well, it's not always God's will because it's always His promise. What kind of God you serve? What kind of God you serve? And who do you think you are trying to figure out when He's in the mood and when He's not? My goodness, if you talked about me that way, I'd get mad at you. If I told you I was going to do something and you question me all the time, eventually you're going to rub me the wrong way. Well, Stan said this. Yep, I did. If I did, you can bank on it. Don't tell me when. I didn't tell you when. Unless I tell you when, you don't fill in the blanks. Now, can you imagine God just talking to you that way? Can you imagine God looking at you and saying, would you relax? Come on. God is real. And I'll guarantee you, He talks to you real. You just don't want to hear it that way. Does my word say that I heard you? Does my word say that I'll answer you? Well, here's my answer first off. Get off my back. I heard you the first time. Now, if you believe me, you won't keep acting like that. You really think? You really think? Do you really think that God might have a feeling or two like yours? Now, you're supposed to stop praying the minute you mention it? I didn't say that. Don't put words in my mouth. You ain't big enough to put words in my mouth. I'll bite your hand off. And I said that very specifically to somebody that was projecting some stuff. I said, you ask Him and you believe Him. You know why I said that? Because that's exactly what the Scripture says. You know what it says after that? It says it's all up to you. I don't even have it. Give me my Bible. Give me that money. Turn to Mark. No, you don't have to do that. I'll quote it to you. Mark 11, 22, 23, 24. What does it say? This is an answer to your mental response. Whosoever says to this mountain, be removed and cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, can have anything that he says. It says that mountain will jump up and move. Now, did God say that or not?
Yes, He did.
Let me ask you something. Should you spend all your time in your knees saying, oh, mountain, please, God, move the mountain? Did it say when you ask me, I'll move it for you? Why do you want to read that into the Scripture for? You know what your job is to do now? Say to the mountain, be removed. You're cast into the sea. If it don't move that minute, you just tell it, you lost, buddy. I don't care. You can sit there for a week and my faith in God is still there. God told me this by His Word and you will move. You don't have any choice. And then you know what the next step is? Thank you, God, for the mountain being removed. Thank you, Lord, that Your Word is always real. And it's always true and it never fails.
Amen.
That's our part. To give Him praise. What does the Scripture say? You call those things that aren't as if they already are. Doesn't it say that? Why would you do that? Because you are convinced that God backs up what you say. Let me tell you where this is coming from. Yesterday morning, time to go work on Renee's barn. I tossed and turned all night long because my back was hurting me. All night long, I didn't get much sleep. And like a stupid, I'm accepting that to be a way. Why do we accept things that are not ours? My scripture says that Jesus took that pain upon Himself so that I wouldn't have to. That's what the scripture says. Now, can I just fly against all the teaching of the church and believe what God says? Well, how come I'm so slow on the uptake? And I just, out of pure old honoriness, said I'm going. Hurt like crazy. Hurt like crazy. And all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit says, Stan, this is sin. This is sin. Well, wait a minute, God. What do you mean it's sin? I'm the one got the pain. You got the pain because you're not listening to what I told you. And when you don't listen to what I tell you, that's sin. You don't have an option. Listen to me. I am in Christ Jesus. I do not have the option to hurt Christ Jesus being in Him with pain. Now it got quiet. You noticed that, didn't you? What I have is the option to live or to die. I give you this day life, death, blessings, curses. Only two choices. Or if you like four, I don't care, but there's still two. So, I began to say, you know what? I agree with you, God. I'm healed. No option. This pain, I will speak to it. This body, I will speak to it. I will tell it what to do. It will not tell me what to do. Why do you think I'm reminding it? You think I forgot this? Yes! So don't tell me you haven't. If I can, you can. You can, I can. We proved that this morning, right? And it hurt. When I went to bed last... most of the pain went away, by the way. I went to bed last night, and I get in my normal position, it begins to hurt. And I said, no. No. I do not wrestle with flesh and blood. Are you hearing me? But I wrestle against principalities and powers of darkness. Dr. Stan, are you telling me that pain? That's exactly what I'm telling you it is. God did not breathe into you the breath of pain. He breathed into you the breath of life. And I said, I will not have this. I didn't scream it from the housetop. I didn't bounce off the walls and ricochet. You never heard me say it, but I said it. I said it to the one that's yielding to temptation. And you know what? It quit. It quits. And it don't hurt now. What's the difference between yesterday and this morning? Making God the preeminence, God's Word the preeminence, and not pain. If you think that's easy, try it. It's called using faith. That's why the Bible instructs that we're to pray for each other's faith. Am I in trouble with God because I had some pain? Oh, come on. Please. God's interested in my health, not my demise. If I have to hit everything perfect, forget it. Let's all die and get it over with now. We grow through these things. Now let me get back to my message. Or the intro. I want us to learn. The Bible says study to show yourself approved, right? Well, if you study forever and you don't practice, you'll never be approved. But if you don't study, you will never practice, and you surely will not be approved. Study to show yourself approved. Learning so that our faith is increased, causing our doubt and unbelief, our false believing, to be decreased. Now, shall I ask a raise of hands of whoever thinks they have some doubt and unbelief in them? I'll just vote for you, all of you, and me too. You don't have to be embarrassed. It's just the way it is. That's why we have to study to show ourselves approved, because it drives out the doubt and the unbelief. Amen? Why don't we start off honestly? Everybody in this place should say this. that we confess to each other that in our flesh is doubt and unbelief. And if we don't get it under control, me and mine are going to die. Now, I didn't hear one amen out of that. You know why? Because I just led them out on a tightrope. And I didn't mean to. It's supposed to be a sure way, what I just said. Why did you take it as a dangerous way? You'll sit here and tell me right now that if you walk across Jewel and you don't watch, you're going to die. I just said the same thing to you. I said in your spiritual walk, if you don't get on the ball and watch out, you and yours are going to die. Oh, well, that's a lot closer. I didn't say anything really original or out of bounds. I just told you that we need to watch. We need to be careful. Right now, the devil's trying to put that pain back in my back. And he's a liar. He doesn't have any right to do that. I have no right to accept it as the norm, so it must go in Jesus' name. I want to destroy every word of doubt and opposition to God's Word. And this is life and death. We may just get through this one scripture today. I don't know. This one that's coming up. Not the past one. Don't hope. Wrong hope. Matthew 8. Matthew 8. Turn with me there because I'm going to read some. Matthew 8. We're going to read about 13 verses there. Or 12 or 11 or whatever. Matthew 8. There's about two or three different stories here. All of them are tied together. And we're going to tie them together this morning. Matthew 8, chapter 8, verse 1. As you're turning there, Matthew 8, verse 1, I want to tell you that anybody can perform circus acts and draw people. And one of the things that Jesus was dealing with is Jesus wasn't performing circus acts. The people thought he was. The people thought he was performing acts for their entertainment. So they followed him. Jesus was about the Father's business. Verse 1, when he had come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him. Now the Scripture says that he wasn't a very pretty man. Very homely, comely. Nothing really drew nothing in the flesh drew people to him. There was a few that were drawn to him by spiritual things. There were many drawn to him by signs and wonders. Keep that in mind when you're looking around and watching. The people were following from a little bit of a distance. They were not entering in. Where are you this morning? Verse 2. And behold, a leper came and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if you are willing, sounds like our prayers, doesn't it? You can make me clean. Now, he stepped further than most of us. He got the first part right, if you are willing. But then he made a statement of fact. You can make me clean. Now, he still had a way out. This is why if you are willing is always interjected into our prayers, because that way we have a way out. We say, well, evidently God wasn't willing. You haven't read the rest of this story. He proves what he was willing to do. Then Jesus put out his hand. By the way, did you notice that Jesus didn't spend great time in prayer? He didn't do a lot of chants and a little praise and a little speaking in tongues and all. He didn't bring out the oil and he didn't have the guy send in a prayer cloth. He just instantly said, Jesus put out his hand and touched him, saying, I am willing. There's your answer. I am willing. Get it. You don't have to get it out of your conversation. Get it out of your thought processes. He is willing. I am willing. Be cleansed. Immediately his leprosy was cleansed. And Jesus said to him, see that you tell no one. See that you tell no one. Now, come on. If you had leprosy and you were healed, how quiet are you going to be? What you're seeing is the personality of Jesus Christ. His spiritual personality. He didn't want accolades. He didn't want praise. He wanted to do the will of the Father. So what are we seeing here? The will of the Father is to heal. And don't tell him about me. Don't tell him about me. Why? Because there's more after me coming. Jesus wasn't looking for the circus followers. He was looking for those that wanted to commit to Him eternally. That's what He was looking for. But go your way. Show yourself to the priest. I found this entertaining. Show this to the priest. Jesus had a way of picking a fight, didn't He? He picked His fight. He sent that man and said, go tell the priest, knowing that the priest would get mad at him. He wasn't interested in their opinions. He was interested in the will of the Father. Yeah. Go and show yourself to the priest and offer the gift that Moses commanded as a testimony to them. Yeah. Why would priests need the testimony? Why do I need to preach this message to you again this morning? Why did I need to hear it? Because I don't know what this is about, but it seems like the most faithless people are found in church. Jerry Lewis has been working for, seems like, centuries, trying to get his children healed, and he never quits. You give an assignment to the church to pray for those children, they'll quit after 3 days. Those priests need to know that what I say is true. What God the Father says is true, and I'm here to prove it. Can I ask you something? How is God going to be proved to anybody without you? Because we're not seeing if... That's true. An active God means that there's much destruction to the world. If a volcano goes off, they'll say it was an act of God. The wind blows houses down and people are destroyed. It's an act of God. One man is saved. Oh, that's just that religious fanatical bunch over there. Somebody's raised to the dead. Somebody comes right now and testifies to you that there was somebody raised from the dead. You're going to go say, really? How'd that happen? You didn't say praise the Lord. You want to be proved that it was possible. Because you're not sure that can happen. Well, maybe that's why we're not seeing it. Now look. Now when Jesus had entered Capernaum, a centurion came to Him, pleading with Him. Saying, Lord, my servant is lying at home paralyzed, dreadfully tormented. Dreadfully tormented. Did you know what this centurion, this guard, this army man that would kill anybody in a blink of an eye, was touched by somebody's torment, knew more than most of us know. He knew that if he could get Jesus to listen to him for a minute, the man's problems are over. My servant is lying at home, paralyzed, dreadfully tormented. And Jesus said to him, I will come and heal him. What's God's will? What's Jesus showing right here about God's will? He'll not only do it, He'll come and do it. We don't have to sit and beg Jesus to come. His will is. He just has to know we're interested. The centurion said, I'm not only interested, I am concerned about this man. And Jesus said to him, I will come and heal him. Verse 8. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I'm not worthy that you should come under my roof, but only speak a word and my servant will be healed. Speak a word. He was talking to a man. Are you understanding me? This centurion was not a religious man. But he knew something. Can I tell you something? Most of what you know comes within, from within, not without. You can listen to this preaching all you want to, but if the Holy Spirit don't explain some things to you, you're lost, man. You're lost. I'm sorry, I don't show up to hear the great preacher. I show up to hear the great word.
Yes.
Amen?
Yeah.
If you'll just speak a word, you'll be healed. My word, this is not even New Testament yet. Jesus hadn't died yet. He hasn't fulfilled Isaiah 53. And this man's already moving by faith. Now listen to the explanation. For I also am a man under authority. Who's he saying this to? Jesus. What's the inference here? He was under authority. Jesus was under authority. Now are you listening to me? They weren't even paying any attention to what Jesus was preaching. He already knew that God was the authority. And Jesus was the one under authority. So he says, I am also a man under authority. He already knows what the will of God is. My word, we need a church full of some God. He already knows the will of God. But he's looking at the man that he knows God sent. And he recognizes him to be one under authority. He said, one under authority can speak God's word and he'll be healed. Anybody here under authority? I hope you get this. I have soldiers under me. And I say to this one, go and he goes. And to another, come and he comes. And to my servant, do this and he does it. Referring to, I understand you, Jesus. When Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to those who followed, assuredly, I say to you, I have not found such great faith, not even in Israel. Not even into those that I call mine. What's the inference here? You're not even mine. You're not even mine, and you've got greater faith than who I call mine. Breaks down some categories, doesn't it? And here's what after we break the walls down, here's what's pointed out. If you believe God's word, and you believe it's done, it's done. No qualifications. Then Jesus said to the centurion, go your way. That's verse 13. And as you have believed, so let it be done for you. Hoop! Where's your Bible? Get your pen out. You found a formula. You like formulas? I like ones that always work. Here's one that always works. And as you have believed, so let it be done for you. And listen, Jesus didn't go. And he didn't send the word. He didn't stand there and say, be healed! Not even a little word. Jesus taught us a great big sermon by not saying it. He said, as you believe, so it'll be done. And the response was, his servant was healed that same hour. You know what Jesus did? He took himself out of the healing equation right there. He put God's will and that man's belief as the formula that caused the healing. I know the centurion didn't intend that to happen. That was not the centurion's intent. But are we hearers of the word? Now, I'm not instructing you to take Jesus out of the healing. Please, don't get goofy on me. I'm saying that the emphasis was this. As you have believed, so let it be done for you. We get these crazy ideas that we have the right to believe that we can be broke because the economy goes down. That we have the right to be old because our age goes up. That we have the right to be sick because a fever comes. Or because, you fill it in, because I got this lump, bump, hump. Now we have the right to be sick. Well, you do. You do have that right. It says right there you have the right. It says as you have believed, so be it. So you have the right. All you got to do is get a diagnosis, which is a swag for y'all that don't know what that is. I'm not going to explain it to you. I'm not going to do it. I'm tempted. What it is you've got somebody that speaks a word, and you must decide whether you agree with that word or not. You must decide where that word has dominion over you, or you have dominion over that word. It's not hard to find out. You just watch somebody live some things out and you can find out where they believe that or not. Let me show you some things about this centurion. Number one, he knew that he had not earned what he was asking for. Did you get it? He had not earned what he was asking for. He was asking because he knew God's will. He knew God better than most of us because he knew God wanted that servant to be healed. He wasn't there questioning Jesus, should we pray that he be healed or not? He wasn't there saying, if I give a big enough offering, will you heal him? If I say 30 or 40 Hail Marys and whatever else goes along with that, is that okay? If I praise and worship for 3 or 4 hours right before I talk to him, will it work? Now please, I'm not cutting down any of this. What I'm saying is that your salvation, your healing, your abundance is not based on your perfection or your performance. It's based on God's will. Now what happens when we begin to seek the will of God? Seek the Word, seek the will of God. Those things change us and cause us to pray, cause us to praise, cause us to worship. Too many times it's presented us that we'll praise and worship and read Word, God will perform. This story comes against that theology. I don't think we can bribe God to work. I've never known anybody that was saved enough that they earned salvation. Never saw anybody pray or praise or tithe enough to earn healing. It was the will of God before the foundations of the earth. Wasn't your thought. Didn't require your work. It requires your belief. That's what it requires. Well, I believe that I got a pain. Well, then you got one. But Stan, I'm sweating bullets. It hurts. Sweat some faith and praise. See if it doesn't remove the other one.
Amen.
And see if one doesn't profit you much greater than the other. You know what our solution is, don't you, to everything? If I need money, I work harder. If I need anything, all I got to do is work harder. So what do? We translate that right into the spiritual. If I want to get God's attention, I need to work harder. Well, maybe that's true and maybe it's not. Maybe you getting God's attention will make you work harder.
Yeah.
You think the guy that was healed of leprosy in this story had to work up a praise? I don't think so. Did he have one? Oh, yeah. You understand what I'm saying? The sacrifice of praise is to get your flesh in order. Not to get God in order. God was in order long before you ever discovered America. He's always been in order. He's got His stuff in a group, man. He doesn't have to get you lined up. He'll be in a group when you come and go. It's up to us to get in His alignment, His understanding. He did not earn what He was asking for. He knew another thing. He knew the will of God. And he knew that Jesus' word was final. How many in here know that Jesus' word is final? Then how come you talk so much? How come it's just not the word of God coming out of you? And shut up! Don't say another word. Y'all know about closes? Y'all ever go to sales school? That means you put something out there on the table and the next guy that speaks loses. Y'all never heard of that before? Well, I'm telling you, it's the way of God. He puts it out on the table, we put it out on the table, and anybody that comes against it loses because that is the final word. All we have to do is reinforce. Why do we reinforce the word? No, you You can reinforce yourself with the Word. Because I'm telling you that there's all kinds of forces out there that want to kill, steal, and destroy you. And the only way to beat them is not arm wrestle, but it's with the Word. I don't care what the need is. I don't care what the worry is. I don't care what. And what's crazy is it covers every thought and portion of our life. It covers our previous generation. It covers this generation. It covers up to 1,000 generations if we believe correctly. So I don't have to worry about my children or my grandchildren or my greats and after that. If I teach, if I learn and I teach properly. He knew something else. He knew that this contact with the Word was all that he needed. He didn't come to town to pick up some meds to go back and help the guy. He came to town to release the guy. He didn't shop all around and find if there were some other words. He didn't study all the histories of religions. He met the Word. Come on, y'all get excited. Why just blow my voice out? He understood authority. Something that everybody in this place is still fighting. It's obvious just about every time we meet. A man said, I understand authority. I walk in a little bit of authority. Now I'm kneeling to you. And because of that, my servant is going to be healed. He knew that prayers for other people work just like they work for him. He understood that Jesus had all authority because Jesus was working under all authority. There's no man has all authority, only God. But all of those that work under him work under all authority. Did you chase your tail on that one? But I promise you it's true. He understood that Jesus did not have to be prayed up or prayed into this situation. You know what most of us try to do? We try to convince God of His Word instead of remind Him of His Word. But God, You said! What we need is a little bit less constipation. We need to try to quit trying to squeeze everything out. We just need to have the oil of anointing so that everything will just flow properly. When we open our mouth, the Word flies out. It don't have to be squeezed out. It just comes out of the abundance of the heart. You're crazy, Stan. He truly believed that the Word was what he needed, was all that he needed, and he didn't need to seek another source. Do I ask the question? How do you know what somebody believes? Forget somebody, you. How do you know what you truly believe? I look at where you seek. How many times do you go to the bank for a loan, to the drugstore for meds, to the television for that pump course that you need? And how many times do, with every situation, do we just say, thank you, Lord, for the solution. I read in your Word that it says, and so this is what I say, I come into agreement with you, it's finished. Now let me read you one more scripture. I hope you didn't close your Bible. I shouldn't have led you that direction. But right after 13 is verse 16. Very short. And I want you to put on your helmet because I'm going to hit you hard. But it won't be unto death. It'll be unto life. No. Matthew 8, verse 16. Here's something that Christians just will not tolerate, just will not tolerate, I will not listen to this. But every scripture points to it. When evening had come, they brought to him many who were demon-possessed, and he cast out the spirits with a word and healed all who were sick. All who were sick. All who were sick. Why? Because the word is not selective, it applies to saint and sinner. Woo! See, the Bible says that you've got to believe on Jesus to be saved. But I can tell you, you can look back in the Old Testament before Jesus ever bore stripes, you'll see people healed. That's not my point. In case that wasn't big enough for you. Here's my point. These people were not being able to be healed because they were full of spirits. And before the healing could come, spirits had to be put in order. And I don't care how full you think you are, you still have a little dung in there. You can call it what you want, but I can tell you in my case, I don't even have to point to you, the war that I'm doing right now is not with my flesh and blood, but it's with principalities and powers of darkness. You super elevated Christians, you. You still battle principalities and powers of darkness. Any word that comes to you that resists the word of God is an evil spirit. And if it's in you, so be it. Your job is to cast it out. Cast it out, cast it out, cast it out. Why don't we just not be quite so religious and get more practical? If you go down here to your favorite station, and you fill up with gas, and you drive away and it's pinging and clattering, and you don't think you're going to make home, don't use the gas station again. Try remedying the problem. That's how simple spiritual things are. If whatever it is that you're doing right now is not working, change. Change your thinking. Get real crazy. Begin to command those things that are hindering you and bothering you. You command them. Quit asking somebody else to. You do it. And then you don't let one word or one movement that negates your last word, don't let anything come out that changes that. If I believe that my mind is crisp and sharp because of Christ Jesus and in Christ Jesus, when somebody tells me I got Alzheimer's, you know where I'm going to tell them they can go? Well, I won't, but I'll think it. What I'll tell them is the answer. The answer is this. No. I have the mind of Christ. Unless you think that Jesus has Alzheimer's, and if you think that He does, so be it in me. I'm not afraid of that. I'm not afraid of that. Mind of Christ is safe and pure. And you know what else it is? It's focused. You need to remember that the same mind that was in Christ Jesus then is still in Christ Jesus. And He's just as focused on pleasing the Father as He ever was. And not one time has He doubted one moment that God's will was not real and He didn't know it. And He cast out the spirits with a word and healed all who were sick. Well, how do you know, Stan? Can you prove that? Yeah, I can prove that. He walked into towns where he had to leave. He couldn't heal because of the spirits that were in that town. Let's don't get flaky. All they were was words coming against. They were coming against. Oh, he's just, well, I know that guy. He's just the son of that garbage man out there, that old carpenter that can't do a very good job. That's the son of, he came from a garbage town. He ain't nobody. And they began to say that, and he said, you want to be healed? He looked privately at the guy. You want to be healed? Then let's cast out these spirits. There's more than one way to cast out. You can leave them. If they won't go, you leave them. You get away. You want truth, don't you? One person, two people. Okay. We see in this verse that our fight is against the demonic attack. It is not failing flesh, our funds. Are you hearing me? Nope, I'm going to say it for you again. You do not have a fight with your flesh. And you do not have a fight with your funds. You have a spirit fight. And how do you win a spirit fight? Because that's what the Spirit would tell you to do, right? See, the demonic, devil, satanic spirits will tell you to speak or hear one way. God's Spirit will tell you to speak and hear another. Choose you this day. It's that simple. I don't care if it's you. I don't care if it's a friend. And I don't care if it's an enemy. You don't listen to things that God wouldn't say about you. You don't allow them here. You don't allow them here. You don't allow them here. Anywhere around. It'll just make you fight a lot harder. You know there's a spirit within you that wants to tell you what's right. Our work is to receive the promises, not entertain the threats. Let me say it again. Our work is to receive the promises, not entertain the threats. 2 Corinthians 10:3. Don't know how far I'll go here. I'm only on page 4 or page 9, but 2 Corinthians 10, verse 3. I'm going to say it to you again. For though we walk in the flesh, how many of you walk in the flesh? Come on, don't get religious on me. How many of you walk in the flesh? Right? There's some people here know what I'm talking about. I don't know if you know it, but you got this flesh skin that's holding you together. What's it holding together? All the rest of the flesh. It's allowing you to walk, speak, hear, see. It's a gift from God. Reason. Come, let us reason together. 2 Corinthians 10, verse 3 says, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war against the flesh." So your problems are not your war. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. Your flesh is not attacking you. Your finances are not attacking you. Find out what is and get rid of it. Our war does not depend on what others do, how others think, and other people's science. Verse 4, "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal." So, what does carnal mean here? Don't tell me sin. Flesh. Your weapons are not flesh. The way to win this thing is not flesh. Oh my goodness. Come on, are y'all hearing what God's saying? Everything that the medical community has in their hand is flesh. Money is flesh. Car wrecks are flesh. Sinning children are flesh. Not only the problem is not what you're fighting, the way that normal people solve it is not the way. It's carnal. There's only one righteous way to solve a problem, and that's by the Word of God. It's the only way that God's going to accept. He'll tolerate a few others. He'll help you out with some things in your unbelief. But let me tell you what's going to happen. He's going to begin to deal with our unbelief. He's not going to soften His Word. For you that are thinking about sending this tape, please pray before you do. Seriously, this is a strong word for strong people. This is not a weak word for weak people. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God. Not, but those weapons are mighty. The only thing, only might you have is in God. For pulling down strongholds. Wait a minute. Let's see, my back is hurting. Grab a hold of that stronghold and pull it down. Doesn't work, does it? You can't put that word into that picture. So it's not the pain you want to go away. It's the stronghold. The finances. How do you pull your finances down any lower than they're already pulled? You've got to come against the source of the attack. The finances are revelation that there's an attack on. Pain is a revelation that there's an attack on. It's not acceptable in the sight of God, therefore it should not be acceptable in yours. God wants a Gideon's army right now in this place. He doesn't want to have to explain to the other near 300,000 why they weren't selected. He's talking to the 300 that want to be used. Amen? Five. Well, Stan, how do you pull down strongholds? Verse 5. Casting down arguments. Oh, this is too simple. Don't lose it here. How do you pull down those strongholds? Casting down arguments. So, Stan, what are you saying? I'm saying your checkbook is arguing with God. The pain is an argument with God. The lack, want, and need, the sickness, the disease is an argument with God. Except God is on your side. Pull down every other argument. Casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Now, guys, it's not talking about the smart of God. We're not talking about God's wisdom. We're talking about what you know about God. Remember how we started this off? What do you know about God? And I read that to you to make a blanket statement that you know that God only thinks about good things for you. You must know that. Now, anything, listen, you've got to cast down every argument, every high thing that exalts itself against that knowledge. The Bible doesn't say God's going to come and do it for you. It says you're going to do it. Our fight is not to establish the Word, but to tear down any other suggestions of another answer. You can write that down if you want to. That's pretty important. Our fight is not to establish the Word. God established that before you were ever born. Our fight is to tear down any other suggestions of another answer. Now, some of you know exactly what I'm talking about. Anytime it's not going the way you think it should, you come up with more solutions than God ever came up with. And God only wants you to remember one, and that's Him. Our job is not to establish the Word, but to tear down anything that points to another solution. Here's what happens. I'm going to read 5 again. Casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, which causes bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. I went through a generation where people decided that it was all right to take chemicals to release your mind. They hummed, they thumbed, they danced, they shouted, they wore beads, they did whatever they thought they could do to free the mind. And all it did was bring the mind into captivity of nothing but looking for another solution and answer. The last part, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. What are you thinking right now? Do you need to bring it into captivity? You do not have the right to think what you want to think. You may have been born in a democracy, but when you were born again, you were taken out of that democracy. I hate to tell you this, but God wants you so much in control, He tells you what to think. And any thought that you have that's other than His thought, you are to take it into captivity. The biggest enemy in the world is an open mind. A Christian's mind is not supposed to be open to, except the only thing to be open to is the things of God.
Yeah.
Everything else it's closed to.
Yeah.
Well, that makes you, yes, it does. It makes you peculiar, at least. It makes you hard-headed. To the world, it makes you obnoxious and a fool. But to you, it makes you free,
yeah,
abundant, healthy, and you are the only ones on the face of the earth that have a direction. Everybody else is lost. Embrace the Word. They're lost. Now listen to the rest of this. After you've cast down the argument and everything that's against what you know to be about God, after you've brought it into captivity, verse 6, you've got to be ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. Uh-oh. Guess where that has to start? Can you imagine punishing yourself? Well, you got a command from God. It's a command from God. Punish yourself. Well, how do you do that? Hey, I'm not here to work out your salvation. Don't give me your whip. You won't like it. Don't give me your rod. You wouldn't even like watching me whip me. Much less me whipping you. You've got to work it out. You've got to punish your wrong thoughts. Can I tell you what the best punishment of the enemy is? I've got your solution here. What does the enemy hate the most? Truth. Truth. Truth is praising Jesus. Truth. All you have to do with those goofy thoughts that you have is say, shut up! I will not allow you to think that. This is what you're forced to think. And quote a little word. And watch the enemy flee, the Bible says. Watch the enemy flee. Hey, if it wasn't a pain to him, if you hadn't just inflicted pain, he wouldn't be fleeing. You don't have to beat you up. It's the thought that you need to whip before it becomes. And if it is, whip it, it's not strong anymore. Being ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. Teach yourself. This is what the Scripture said. You teach yourself, and then when that's done, you teach others. Why? Why would I have to teach others? It's a command. This is not a suggestion. When you have yours under, you teach others. Why? Because yours won't be under very long if you don't start spreading it. You'll go backwards. You'll lose it. How do I know? It's called a pain in the back. I slacked up on y'all in this area. Did y'all notice that? I walked away from it. I said, let's go some other ways. Ooh. What does God say? How long are you going to tolerate this, Stan? How long do I have to put up with you limping around and whining? It's not how I created you. Can I get this done? Not the way I'm going. Let me try to cover some ground right quick, because I got a long one next week. I don't know what it is, but I know it's going to be long. We must stop doing what the world does to solve problems. If you don't call yourself a peculiar people if you do exactly what they do. We must teach the world how it is supposed to be done by the Word or by the promise. Deuteronomy, y'all write these down. Don't turn there. Write them down. Deuteronomy 14:2. For thou art an holy people unto the Lord thy God, and the Lord hath chosen thee to be a peculiar or special treasure. Peculiar people. unto himself above all the nations that are upon the earth. Above all the nations that are upon the earth. You choose this day whether you want to be the head or the tail, top or the bottom, above or beneath. Deuteronomy 26:18. And the Lord has declared this day that you are His people, His treasured possessions, as He has promised, and that you are to keep all of His commands. All of His commands. It didn't say 10. It said all of them. One of them is that you are the temple of God. Get the pain out. Get the crud out. Get the cussing out. Get the smoking out. Get the garbage out of your mouth. Because you defile the temple. Titus 2:14. Who gave Himself for us that He might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto Himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. 1 Peter 2:9. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of Him who hath called you out of darkness into this marvelous light. Listen, we can't be like the world and be called out of anything. That's a lie. That's an oxymoron. You are not called out. Nobody can tell you from the next person. If you have the same insurance, if you have the same faith, if you have the same doctor, the same hospital, the same bank account, everything in your life is exactly the same, you're not pulled out of anything. What kind of message is this? It's nearly like an old holiness message. Set apart is what we're supposed to be. Not by His judgment. He knows us already. We're to be set apart by their judgment. How can we glorify God if we do it just like everybody else does? There has to be some signs and wonders following. You must be one of them. You got to be pulled out. You got to be set apart. You got to be peculiar. We must stop trying to fit in or be like the world. We are called to be set apart by our faith and actions. Now listen to this. God is on our side to win His side. God is on our side to win His side. He knows that you are deceived. You think there's still a war on. You're deceived. You think there's still a war on. The war's been won. All you have to do is enter into the victory. Well, how do I... That Stan, you just said. No, well, you listen to me. The victory is that you report the victory. The only victory you're ever going to have is you reporting the victory and making the victory stand in your eyes, in your mind. I am healed. Well, Stan, you're saying that. Yeah, I'm saying it before I even feel it. Because I already know it to be true. And everything else is a liar. This man has to be a liar no matter what he feels. Amen. It says, let every man, everything except what God says, be a lie and a liar. Amen. I don't tolerate it. We are called to be set apart by our faith and actions. God is on our side to win, to be in health, to be in abundance, in all things, including peace. Listen. You write this down. We do not have to fight God for our blessings. We don't have to fight God for our blessings. They're established. Our only fight is your unbelief. Your unbelief. Everything else is completed except your belief system. I'm going to say it again. This is how simple it is. Everything has been won. Everything has been established. The only thing that has not been overcome yet is you and your unbelief. Me and my unbelief. It's the only thing fight that's left. How hard is this? Guys, do you know how easy this is? I'll tell you how easy it is. You read the Bible, you can't go wrong. Because it's reminding you every day what's already been done. You pray, praise, and I promise you by the Spirit, you'll be rejuvenated in your faith. And if your spouse is not a Christian, wash them with the Word. Don't you back up. And every time they say something that's not according to the Word, dump on them again. Wash them again. They're Christian. I didn't say anything about them not being Christian. Maybe I did. Now I'm telling you different. If they're not a Christian, if they are a Christian and all they are is full of negative, dump on them some more. If nothing else, it'll help you. Paul says it could get them saved. You don't fight God for His blessings. When you pray, don't beg. Enter into His throne room boldly. How do you do that? Walk in with His Word all over you. Watch Him. He will not reject you. Ephesians 6:12. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. That's Ephesians 6:12. You need to just remember it, remember it, remember it. Don't believe your flesh. Don't believe other people's flesh. The fight has been finished in Christ Jesus. Isaiah 53:5. He was wounded for our transgressions. There goes your sin. He was bruised for our iniquities and your mistakes. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him. You haven't got any rights or reason to toss and turn and lose sleep. And by His stripes, we are healed. Now, how many of you want to cut off that last sentence? I know you want all the rest, because that feels good. Now, this one's the one that puts you on the spot. And by His stripes, I am healed. By His stripes, I am healed. Don't you tell me what I can't do and can't do. By His stripes, I am healed. Don't let your body tell you what you can do and can't do. By His stripes, you are healed. Don't be foolish. Remember, not by your timing. Not by your timing. By God's. Flesh and sin have been dealt with. Stop believing otherwise. Our fight is a fight of faith. Or what we truly believe, or what we risk/base our life on. How do I know what you believe? What you literally base your life on. If you think there's a God, you're going to. Every time you hear Him, every time you feel Him, every time you pick up your Word, you're going to salute Him. If He says be in church on Sunday, that's where you're going to be. That's where you're going to be. Why? Because you respect Him. You base your life on Him.
Right.
And when a temptation comes up in your heart, and in mine, like I had this morning, that get even thing, I'll teach them. Come on. Is it about me or is it about them? How's best to do this? Think. What was that formula I taught a long time ago? Stop. Think. Think. Stop. Breathe. Think and act. I walk in health and abundance, not because I say so, but because Jesus says so. I'm trying to approach this from every angle I can think of. And I'm going to get it accomplished. That's why I'm pushing right now. Listen to me. I walk in health and abundance, not because I say so, but because Jesus says so and I agree with Him.
Amen.
I'm smart enough to agree with Him.
Yeah.
Not dumb enough to argue with Him.
Right.
I walk in and under that authority. I walk in and under that authority. I walk in and under that authority. And me and my are healed, just like the centurion. That is what Jesus calls the greatest faith. That simple. In Him, we live and move and have our being. Acts 17:28, in Him we live, not die, move, not cripple, and have my being. I don't have mine, I have His, because I'm in Him. I don't have the right to let this garbage stack up on me and say, in Him I live. Why do we look for other sources or avenue? Well, all we have to do is believe His Word. When will it be settled with you? Question God wants to know. When's it going to be settled with you? How will we know that it's settled with you? Here's how. Others will see it, they'll hear it, they'll witness it. They will know that you are different by your life. Romans 4, 19 through 22. Romans 4, 19 through 22. This is Abram or Abraham. And not being weak in faith, he did not consider his body. Woo. If I consider my body, I'm weak in faith.
Yep.
So you just reverse that scripture, is what it says. And not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body, already dead since he was about 100 years old, and the deadness of Sarah's womb. He did not waver at the promise of God, even if it takes 100 years. He did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief. Anything except the promise of God is unbelief. But was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully convinced that what God had promised, he was also able to perform. Why do you need to know God's promise? Because the minute you know God's promise, you know he's able to perform it. And therefore, it was accounted to him for righteousness. Anybody here want righteous, want to be righteous? Then you got to do it by faith. You got to stand on God's promises or it'll never be accounted to you for righteousness. I'm nearly through. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they were encircled for 7 days. By faith. Walls fell down. By faith. By faith, the harlot Rahab did not perish with those who did not believe when she had received the spies with peace. Hebrews 11:30 is where I'm at. Hebrews 11:30. And what more shall I say? For the time would fail me to tell you of Gideon and Barak and Samson and Jephthah, also of David and Samuel and the prophets, who through faith, now we're down to Patrick and Bill and everybody in this room, who through faith subdued kingdoms, worked righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword. All of this is still in effect by faith. Turned to fight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again. Why are we settling for a third rate? Now listen to you. Listen to me. And by faith. And this is going to cover my life. Little pieces of it. Stan's stomach was healed. His heart was restored. He was saved and filled with the Holy Spirit. By faith, his burn scars were replaced with beauty. His broken back was healed. His son's skull fracture was healed. His own and those that are his are full of health and strength even today. Healed and restored. His children and his grandchildren and on serve the Lord. He walks in abundance in all things. And no weapon that's ever been formed will ever prosper against him. That's my scripture from God. Where's yours? Revelation 12:11. They defeated him, Satan, by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. The testimony didn't come after the defeat. They overcame him with the blood. They overcame him. They overcame these things with the blood of the Lamb and the word of the testimony. For they did not love their lives, but laid them down for Jesus. Where are you today? Has the cares and the pains of the flesh and of this world killed your faith? Where's your faith, Dale? What you can do or what God says is already done? Where's your faith? Has the cares and pains of the flesh of this world killed your faith? We need to recommit ourselves to the promises of God today. Not tomorrow. Today. Today is the day of salvation in these areas. We need only one solution and one source today. They are not feelings. They are not facts. They are truth. Jesus' word promise. Here's your two choices. Jeremiah 11:3. And say to them, thus says the Lord God of Israel, cursed is the man who does not obey the words of this covenant. Listen to me. For those of you that think I've gone way too long, I got something to say to you. Cursed is the man that does not obey. I didn't say it, God did. God told His prophet, tell him this for me. Cursed is the man who does not obey the word of this covenant. That's one sign. Jeremiah 31, 33. But this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, are Jesus, says the Lord. I will put my law in their minds. I'll write it on their hearts. I will be their God, and they will be my people. That's the two choices. I highly recommend you choose the latter. Amen? Y'all stand with me. There's only one solution this morning. We can pray with you, and we'd be happy to do that if there's something we need to pray about. But I'm telling you, to every Christian in here, your resolution must be, the evidence is clear, that you must reject anything that's not from God. If it's not Word of God, it's not Word. That means yours, you have to reject. Others, you have to reject. We have to reestablish our place in Christ Jesus today. I'm saved, I'm filled, I'm healed. I know the thoughts that God has for me. It's for abundance, it's for joy, it's for peace. That's for me. I'm not receiving anything else. If I live to be 191 years old, I pray to God that He's pressuring me with this exact same message. And I'm doing it with the fervor that I have right now. Because it's a promise of God that I don't fade away gracefully. Don't you, at any age, fade from this gracefully. You be that ornery, hard-headed, stubborn thing that Jesus purchased at the cross. With the bruises, stripes, blood, He paid dearly for this requirement, for this thing for you, this gift. And now He says, you've got two choices. You accept it or you're cursed. Let's stop walking in curses and just accept it. Amen? Anybody need any prayer? We got people here that if they didn't or they'd forgotten to believe, they believe now. I don't care what's in your life. I'm going to be very cautious now. I'm going to withhold things that I see. But I want to warn you. You now are accountable for what I just told you. In any place, anybody in this place, I don't care what the hang-up is. I don't care what the hold-up is. I don't care what the sin is. I don't care how good it feels to you or how bad your body wants to crave. You're cursed if you continue. You're blessed if you receive what God has given you. I can't say it any other way because if I say it any other way, I will be a liar in the face of God as a messenger and I will pay the price. And I'm not going to pay your price. Jesus has already done it. I'm not going to smile on sin no more than God smiles on sin. Anything that's coming between you and God, you have to come against it. Jesus has already come against it. It's your turn. And you know what? I promise you beyond anything that I can say, and it doesn't make any difference if I promise you, God promises you, by the Holy Spirit, that whatever you come against, He will see that it's accomplished.
Amen. Yeah.
He will see. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I'd like to sell this message, but I didn't pay anything for it. I got it free. Praise the Lord, I got it free. Hallelujah. All I got to do is adhere to it. Amen. I just gave you the answer to all problems. All hearts clear? All hearts clear? All hearts clear. Praise the Lord. Now, anybody have anything to say? I remember something I said earlier, but... Harry?
Would not be well. And
This is Canada, right? Canada? Yeah, here's going to see an old friend, and he says it's the last time he'll see him. And what I want you to understand, if you're going to be in the ministry, you need to feel the weight of the ministry. You need to understand that every time you meet somebody, it could be the very last time and the very last chance they ever have. The weight of the ministry is you're holding somebody's eternity in your hand. First yours, then the close ones to you, and then it works out. Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria. Please, I wrote in my notes that we need to pray for this next week. God has a huge thing He wants done. I've got it in my notes. I don't know what it's about. I know there's a huge thing that God wants us to do. You need to pray. You need to seek God in your position in that. You've already heard from God. I said there's a huge thing. All you need to do is seek Him to what position you play in that. Be ready. Be ready. Be ready. Pray about this one. Meditate. The Bible says meditate on the words you heard today. Meditate. Let them cause a change in your life. Go ahead. Praise God. No. That's right. That's good prayer. Why don't you come on down here? Let some of us lay hands on you. While he's coming, let me say this to you. I want to be clear about this. It nearly sounded like that my will would overcome my will, and that's not what I was saying. I said very clearly to you that as we study God's Word and it becomes a part of us, that our praise of God, in other words, we learn the promises, we learn who we are, we begin to praise God because of that Word, and the Spirit of God accomplishes things in our lives. Remember me saying that? Don't forget that. It's not about how strong-willed I am. It's about how strong-willed God is. And if we can come in alignment with His Word and His will, I guarantee you no other will can stand, including our own. I don't want to get off in this mind over matter stuff, because that don't work. All that comes to is, if I don't mind, it don't matter. That's all that comes to. And we're not going there. Amen. It causes, the Holy Spirit can cause me to change my mind about things. That's what I was really saying. It still takes my effort. But the cool part is, I come in agreement with another attitude, another mind, another spirit. But I'll tell you what it doesn't do. Please hear me carefully. I read the last two scriptures. I cannot do anything I want and blame God. I cannot get by with things blaming God. I cannot sin against God and say, God, it's all right because I have His mind. Bull. Just study the Word. I'm not going to sit here and write down here another 1,000 commandments adding to God, because that's what the Sadducees and Pharisees did. They tried to become the Holy Spirit. We're not going to do that. The Holy Spirit is going to correct. We're not going to do that. We're going to teach you that you study God's Word and obey God's Word, and we're going to leave it at that. No commandments written in. The Holy Spirit's got He's a good one to do that. Father, we thank You for this gentleman. We thank You that, and we're going to back up and correct one thing that he said. Not because he's wrong, it's we want to lift each other up, and that is this. I want to give God thanks for whatever the last church did in this man. I can cast out every wrong thing, but I give him thanks in all things, the Bible says. And I give you thanks more that you're leading them to higher and higher places and deeper understanding, a deeper walk with you. Father, you heard the request. I'm not even too sure if I totally understand his request, but thank God you do. I thank you, God, that you understand. And by his heart and by his determination to serve you, heal and touch and deliver and strengthen in those areas that he's begging you for and he's crying out. As Jesus said, according to your faith and according to your will, so be it. I know this man's will is to serve God, so that's what we agree with him on. That this man will serve God all the rest of his life, all the days of his life, and it influenced and touched many because of this decision, this recommitment to you this morning, and many others that didn't step forward. Because of the recommitment, we're going to shake this city. We're going to shake it. We're not going to settle for a little bitty light on a corner. Praise you, Lord. We do this and speak this in Jesus' name.
In your souls, you have not yet resisted the bloodshed striving against sin, and you have forgotten the exhortation which speaks to you as to sons. My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord,
yes,
nor be discouraged when you are rebuked by him. For whom the Lord loves, he chastens, and scourges every son whom he receives. If you endure chastening, if you will remain under my correction, if you will not run, if you will not flee, I will deal with you as a son. For what son is there whom a father does not chasten?
Yeah.
But if you are without my chastening, if you continue to run from my correction, if you continue to hide from my rebuke, and you don't stand in faith, trusting me as a faithful father, how will you then become a partaker in my promise?
Yes.
You are a bastard and an illegitimate.
Yes. That is another response by the Word, by the Spirit of God, to doing what you think is right, to allowing your flesh to get by with things. The Holy Spirit doesn't. I've never seen a board taken by the Holy Spirit and beat anybody. But I'll tell you, I've seen people with knuckles white, tears streaming down, and if that's not chastisement, I don't know what it is. But it's a great thing. It's a great thing. When God speaks to you, Johnny, or anybody else does, and says, I want this stopped in your life, it is an opportunity for advancement. That's all it is. It's the same thing if I were working for a corporation and the guy would say, I'll tell you what, Bill, if you'll start carrying red pens instead of blue ones, I'll promote you. How long would it take you to change pens? And that's how easy it is in the Spirit. God talks to you about that, and He does it for promotion. We call it chastisement, but my word, it's like God, if you picture chastisement this way, it's like God hitting your bottom and raising you up three levels and leaving you there. So be it. So be it, man. I don't go around whimpering and whining after He chastises me. I feel invigorated because I know His thoughts for me. They're good. His very thoughts chastise me. Do you know that? He didn't have to lift a hand. Oh, my goodness. Which one of you could stand under the hand of God? I don't need His hand. I need His thoughts. I need His mind, emotion, and will. I need His Word. Amen? Amen. I remember a long time ago, I think my dad thought I was a little nuts, but I remember a long time ago, I told him, I'm anxious for a whipping from God. Yeah. What could be a better blessing than peace? Yeah. Nothing's better. Go ahead.
Pastor, it's amazing that, again, with tongue in cheek, that God allowed me for so long to function in self-will without this knowledge. And it's functioning in the self-will, battling against the things of the Spirit, it was useless and futile, just a hamster cage rolling around. But to finally realize that God's power is the only thing that'll break the yoke of the slavery and bondage.
Sets us free, doesn't it?
But He allowed me. It takes what it takes. He allowed me to come to the end of my self-will. You know? And that was a punishment in and of itself. I can graduate to the right kind of walk.
But that in itself is a blessing. When you figure out where your end is, then you know where God's beginning. And that in itself is... Let me tell you what I'm saying. A hard-headed man must know where he stops and God begins. If he doesn't know that, it's always him. It's never God. It's always him. God loves hard-headed men. He loves them, and women. I'm not just talking about men. That's right. Well, it is. Can be. But see, God likes strongholds too. His. That's why it says anything exalts itself against the knowledge of God. He wants you to become a stronghold against the strongholds. So anyway, so that no weapon can ever come against it. I'm just saying whenever a hard-headed man finds the end of himself, he finds the beginning of God and he knows the lie. He knows in business where he can be a hard-headed businessman, and then he knows in the spirit realm where he has to back up and don't even do anything according to business. You understand what I'm saying? All right. Let's pray for Harry. So I know he's got a burden on his heart about this man. I won't say one man, I'll say several.
Amen.
I won't even know why, but
more than
yeah.
Two than just the one man.
So Father, we do lift Harry and Marie up to you for a safe trip there and back. That the pronouncement of death in any of this situation is that man will be born again.
Amen.
There'll be a death there of a man. And a birth of a child of God.
Yes.
But there won't be any anything that needs to be resolved, because the very Spirit of God will walk before Harry and Marie, and resolution will be seen, not taught.
Yeah.
The Spirit of God will move on all around, and the kingdom will prosper because of them, because of their commitment to you, Lord. We're proud to be a part of them. We're proud to pray for them.
Yes.
We're more proud that you love them enough to receive them and use them now in Jesus' name. And we'll look forward to their return.
Amen.
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 Praise the Lord. All right. Anyone else? I thank God that I'm not hungry. But I won't say that that'll last long. We'll agree with you. We'll agree with you. No, I'm serious. You be blessed because you came to church on Sunday. All right, let's pray. Go ahead. Oh. Okay.
Right. What we're going to do is tonight's class, we're going to move to Wednesday. We're going to start the class now on Wednesday instead of on Sunday night. So anyone that has plans on coming tonight, cancel those plans and be there Wednesday night. Okay?
And please let me say this. I want you to continue to pray for God's will. I want some things squeezed out of some other people other than me. How about you? Would you like that? Well, I think the Spirit of God can squeeze out of other people exactly what we need to hear. And that's what I long for starting Wednesday night. Please don't resist. You do your part and watch God do His. Let's pray right quick. Father, we love You with all of our hearts. I thank You for the Word. I see, as a man of God, I seal this Word in their heart. It will not flee and it will not trickle away. It will bother them into perfection. And You know that I say that innocently. I want the best for Your people. Take this Word and create best in them. Let everything that I said fall to the ground. Let everything else be established in them in permanency. And for that, we'll give You praise and honor and glory in Jesus' name. Amen.